Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning on Sharei. We are learning Lilui Nishmasa and the Zecher Nishmasa, Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Alaha Hoshalom, may her neshama have a continuous aliyah in the schus of the Torah learning that we will share this evening. And as always, we thank her family very, very much for their continued dedication and sponsorship of the Torah that we share together, our congregation Sharei Tefillah, every Wednesday evening. So, 2 times ago, the Mechaber, the author, spoke about recognizing Hashem in nature and Tamru Uru Ki Tov Hashem. So we had a shir on that based on Peace Prayer of Salvechik. Last week we delved deeper, much more deeply into that based on the understanding of the depth that nature was created by the word of Hashem. If you missed it, you should really go back on Mayu Torah and listen. It was quite a fascinating shir. So I just need to quote 4 different nekudos from people who reached out to me after the shir with follow-up to the shir. So Shani Gerouts, who's a PA, who was here last week in person. Oh my gosh, I have to remember to tell you something. Thank you. Next week, Be'ezrat Hashem, shir is on Tuesday night instead of Wednesday night. Same Zoom information, Tuesday at 8:30 instead of Wednesday at 8:30. So please mark your calendars. I don't switch. I really have kavias. I don't cancel. I try very hard not to, which is why I'm switching it from next Wednesday night to Tuesday night. Please mark your calendar. The show will be sending an email, and I'll be posting the reminder on WhatsApp. Okay, going back to, I was going to check if Shani Gerouts was here in Zoom, but here she is in person. So she emailed me to tell me that we said last week that Dam, blood, is 44, Dalet is 4, and Mem is 40. And we said that there are 4 blood types, A, B, O, and AB. But Shani Gerouts emailed me to tell me, or texted me to tell me, Dam is 44. She looked it up. The average hematocrit, which is blood count, the average blood count is 44.56 exclamation marks. So that's a further proof that Dam, the word Dam, created Dam. Not it's called Dam and there happens to be blood. And Shani wrote, I just checked. There's 2 ways of checking blood count. A top number is the hemoglobin count. The bottom number is the
hematocrit
count. And that is 44.5. The gematria of Dam is 44. An online listener, that's from Shani Gerouts, Esti Klein, who is joining us this evening on Zoom, told me, so it's really crazy because I put on a podcast, Meaningful People Podcast, and they're interviewing Rabbi Manas Friedman, and he's literally talking about this. In other words, what we spoke about last week. I can't believe it. How everything about Hashem is the Nimshal and the world is the Mashal. But this is the sentence I want to read, because if I didn't make my point well last week, this is exactly what I was trying to get across. With regard to words, Hashem said the word first, let there be light. And then the light is how we perceive the creation. The object gave physical expression to the word. So the word is the creation, and the object is simply physical expression of the word. Hashem did not create light and then name light. Hashem created the word or, and light is a physical manifestation of that or. He infused the world with kedush. He infused the world with the kedush of the word light or, and the word itself is expressed in light. So like blood, Hashem created blood by saying dam. Now the dam, blood, is a physical manifestation of the creation that came about through the word of God. Because that's what we spoke extensively about, through Dibur Hashem created the world. From Shoshana Pollack, Shir was great. In South Africa, they pronounce capillary as you do. So I just wanted to put that out there. From Rachi Fried, an online listener, you did not pronounce medieval. Whew. So last week wasn't as bad as all. Some say it is a shorty and some a short I. Both are correct. I say it as you do. So capillary was not wrong and neither was Ms. Evil. Okay. So what's wrong?
We're not in South Africa.
Say it again.
We don't live in South Africa.
I was saying last week you were in here that that's how we pronounce it growing up in Canada. My kids always think it's nuts that we said capillary and they think I made a mistake. But no, that's really how we said it growing up. I took science and biology and chemistry and that's what it was. Okay, going to the shir of tonight's topic. I know we're not in South Africa, we're not in Canada either. But that's where I was educated. So that is how it was said. Okay. That's number one. I was really going to continue with the teachings from Dr. Kalmi Wilner because there were some more amazing things that I didn't get over. But I'm continuing with the idea of the meaning of words and gematria of words, but it's related very much to Elul. So this is an Elul shir. thoughts compiled and prepared about Elul, but with the same idea of how in Lashon HaKodesh is a whole story that is told based on the word. So I'm beginning with new book, okay? By the way, Esti Klein, I found the story of Dafaknu Dalasecha because it's in here. A lot of the stories in here were retold in previous Rabbi Krohn story books. So if you remember, I was looking for a story. I said I looked for so long for Dafaknu Dalasecha, Rachum V'chanan, and I couldn't find it, but I knew it was one of his books, so he retells it in here. But that's not what I'm starting with tonight. So a gematria that's very, very nice, okay? Here we go. Just, Rifki, don't sit block. Just move over one way or the other way so you could see, or I could see you. Okay, Shana Tova Mesuka. So we have a custom, of course, to dip the apple in the honey, and we wish, or we daven for, I should say, a Shana Tova Mesuka, a year that is both sweet and a year that is good. So Rabbi Pesach Krohn writes, as I write these words during the Aseres Yemei Teshuva 5781, okay, last year, the world is struggling with the COVID-19 pandemic, government-imposed lockdown, serious financial tribulation, social distancing. Regarding these troubles, the following insight from the B'nai Yisachar is especially pertinent and uplifting. There is a universal custom of dipping a piece of apple into honey as an omen for a forthcoming sweet new year. Additionally, the minhag is from Rosh Hashanah through all the Yomim Tovim. I'm sure you do this. When you make the bracha of Hamotzi, you dip the challah, not in salt, but into honey through the whole Yom Tov season. The Hebrew word devash, dalid, beis, shin, numerically equals 306. The title Av HaRachamim, also, when we refer to Ribbono Shel Olam, who is Av HaRachamim, Shochein Meromim, the merciful father, is also 306. 306. So Devash is 306. Av HaRachamim is also 306. Thus, in addition to being an omen for a good year, dipping the apple or bread into honey is a hope and prayer a hope and prayer to our compassionate Father in heaven that the coming year should be as sweet as Devash. So here's another very beautiful gematria where the numbers add up. Devash is 306 and Av HaRachamim is 306. So now I move into the following shir is based on ideas that I heard by Rabbi Zev Lefschlita from Moshe Matityahu. Oh, when we were with Shabbos with Dr. Kalmi Wilner and his children, he was saying that they live on the Moshav. He just sat Shiva for his wife, Allah Hashem. And he said, Rabbi Zevlev came to the Shiva to be Mechamah. I said, do you know Rabbi Zevlev? Rabbi Zevlev came. So he said, when you come to me, we'll go. He gives Shiur in person. Anyway, so Halavai, we should be Zorcha to get to Eretz Yisrael, Bimheira. So this is based on a Shiur from Rabbi Zevlev. And I mamash couldn't believe when he started to talk about this because this relates to what we were talking about last week. Every word in Lashon HaKodesh, says Rabbi Lev, has an open value and a hidden value. What example did he use? Aleph. I was mamish smiling because we spoke about the Aleph last week. The open value of Aleph is, what's the gematria of Aleph? It's not a trick question. One. Aleph is one. What's the hidden value of Aleph? So for that, Rabbi Lev said you have to go, Aleph is Aleph, Lamed, Pei. We gave it last week. Does anyone remember? You should all remember. It's 1, 1, 1. Why? Because Aleph is the first letter, so it's 1, the open value, but it's also 1, 1, 1, the hidden value. So this is how Rabbi Zevlev defined it. Every word in Lashon HaKodesh, or every letter in Lashon HaKodesh, has the open value. So the open value of Aleph is 1, and it also has a hidden value. The hidden value of Aleph would be Aleph is 1, Lamed is 30, Pei is 80, 111. Okay, keep that in mind, and we're going to come back to that, okay? That relates much to what we spoke about. Dam is just dam, but the hidden value of dam is 44, which relates to the blood count, which relates to the four blood types. We just had the Bechoris Pishnaim in last week's Parsha. So the Bechoris Pishnaim, Bechoris 222, because the Bechor gets Pishnaim. Okay, we spoke about all of that last week. Okay, now we move to Elul. Keep that in mind about the open value and the hidden value. So Elul is the Siyum of the whole year, right? On the not Jewish calendar, so you just finish the year and you start a new year, so maybe take a resolution upon yourself, okay? But there's not significance to the time, like there's significance to the time on the Jewish calendar. Elul is the Siyum of the whole year, so it's not just the end of the year. It's the Siyum of a whole year. Why is the Siyum so significant? Because it's the culmination and the climax of all of your efforts. Why, when they make a Siyum Gemara, do we have a celebration? Because it's a culmination and climax of all the efforts of learning. If you finish a Sefer in Tanakh, so you have finished something significant. He said, when do you understand the whole picture of Sefer Bereishis? When you get to the last pasuk and you read about Yosef's death, Vayasam Ba'aron B'Mitzrayim. So now you understand the whole picture, the Maaseh Bereishis, the story of the Avos and the Imahos. You need to get to the Siyum, to the finish line, to understand the big picture. He said something very nice, beautiful. He said the beginning is, of course, also very important. Elul's the end of 1 year, it's the Siyum, but on the other hand, it's the segue into the beginning of a new year. So he said, during this time, we work on ourselves, right? We hope we're working on ourselves. So for example, the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah, some people who always eat pas palter, like Drake's cakes. He said, we'll be very careful only to eat pas Yisrael. And people who eat chalav stam will be very careful to eat chalav Yisrael. So what is that? Like it's a trick? He said, the same person could have their order in on Motzei Yom Kippur. They're breaking their fast on Drake's cakes. But during the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah, they're only eating glicks. He said, so what are you doing? So he gave one of the best answers that I ever heard. This is about the beginning of being in Purim. But then we're going back to the Siyum part, because we're talking about Elul being the Siyum tonight. But this was just one of the best answers ever, because sometimes you take something upon yourself. He said, if a person takes upon themselves Chalav Yisrael and they plan to do it the whole year, so okay, so I understand that they're not faking it, so to speak. But if you say, I'm just doing it for these 40 days, from Rosh Chodesh Elul through Yom Kippurim, I'm keeping Chalav Yisrael, and the day after I'm going to buy Haagen-Dazs ice cream. So he said, so what are you doing? So he gave a mashal to building a building. This is a great mashal. He said, if you want to be cheap when you're building the building, he says, the beginning of anything is the foundation. The foundation must be the strongest part of the building. So he said, if you want to be cheap when you're building a building, so do you be cheap on the grade of cement you use for the foundation, the steel for the beams, or if you have to cut corners somewhere, or should you get cheaper cabinets, cheaper knobs, cheaper tiles? So if you say, I want it to look nice on the exterior, but I'm going to get the cheapest cement, grade C instead of grade A. I'm going to get the cheapest beams, and I'm going to get the fanciest cabinets. So whoever comes in is going to see the most beautiful cabinets, the most stunning tiles, the best wood. It's going to be gorgeous. It's going to fall down. Rahman al-Tzan, Hashem Yirachim, have such an experience. So he said, what are you going to do when you build the building? The foundation has to be super strong. So anyone with half a brain is going to understand that you get the grade A cement and the strongest steel. You don't have money left to decorate it as much as you want. That's fine. You could have the plywood cabinets instead of the top, the top of the line wood. And you could have a cheaper tile instead of granite. You could have linoleum floor instead of marble. Your building's still going to be okay. He said, the beginning of anything is the foundation. And the foundation of anything has to be very, very strong in order for the building to stand. So you can move over. You don't have to sit all the way. So if you want to, whatever you want, but you don't have to sit so far. Yeah, pull up your chair. Come next to Shandi. So the foundation must be very strong, akin to building the building. So if you have a strong foundation, then the building will keep standing. And if the building still obviously stays standing, it can serve its purpose and its function. But if the foundation is cheap and the building is beautiful, it's nothing. So he said this time period of year, which is both the end and the beginning, is our foundation for the new year. And you have to make sure the foundation is very strong. Then you could build on that. But if the foundation is cheap, you can't build anything. What about the end? But we're going back to talking about the end. You want to say something?
I'm just thinking, if it's the end and the beginning and you're making it extra strong, then in a way you kind of have a very good foundation and really nice cabinets.
You're going to have nice cabinets also.
Yeah.
And also there's always room to develop more. If the foundation's strong, the building won't collapse.
Right, but I'm saying,
spiritually.
The beginning, the end and the beginning kind of overlap. So if it's all strong and nice, you still get the bonus cabinets.
Okay, but what I'm saying is also that if the foundation is strong, the building will stand, and you could always develop further. But if the whole building falls down, then you can't develop anything. So too, that's the same, the Nimshals in Ruchnias, that if the foundation is very strong, then there's always potential to build more. You could always renovate the kitchen, and in a year, get the nicer cabinets. Okay, so just a couple months ago, maybe more, I took upon myself Chalav Yisrael, so I wasn't really eating so much dairy in the first place because I don't eat Dunkin' Donuts and I don't eat Haagen-Dazs. Anyways, it was really the friendship cottage cheese. The milk and the cheese were already Chalav Yisrael in our house, and the yogurt I used to buy Costco, now I buy the other one. So I just took up. So you could always build more. But I remember a few years ago, and someone said to me during a service, I made tshuva saying about Chavis, so I thought I have so many things to work on. Seriously, I can't think about that now. But if the foundation is strong, then you hope you could always grow. If the foundation crumbles, then nothing else can be done. So he said, this is our foundation. So anything you take upon yourself during these 40 days, you shouldn't think it's cheap. You shouldn't think it's fake. You shouldn't think that just because I'm eating Drake's on Motzei Yom Kippur, that's what I'm breaking my fast. And he says, the order's already in. It's not a scam. You're building a strong foundation. But now I want to go back to talking about the fact that Elul is the end of the year. Asiyam is very significant because it's the climax and culmination of all of our efforts. What do we say at Asiyam? So I'm actually going to quote the text itself. It's called the Hadron. So why is it called Hadron? Until I was preparing share, I didn't even know. Sorry, I moved my computer by mistake. Why is it called the Hadron? Anyone know? I never knew. Okay. Hadron Allah, we will return to you, Maseches Brachos. No one who's listening online should panic. I am not making a siyam. I am reading the text that is recited at the end of a siyam. Hadron Allah, Maseches Brachos, Vahadron Allah, and we will return to you, Maseches Brachos, and you shall return to us. So why is it called the Hadron? Art scroll footnote. We express the hope that we will review constantly what we have learned, and that in the merit of our desire to learn, the Torah will long to return to us. Because we say, we will return to you, and you will return unto us. Thus, the word is derived from hadar, to return. In the spirit of the Talmudic dictum, Torah mechazeres al achsanya shala. The Torah returns to the achsanya. The Torah returns to the host, or the lodging where it was. So if a person expresses a true desire from a young age, Kanainar, to come learn Torah, so the Torah will return to you. The reward is that the Torah comes to you. But when I was reading this, I couldn't help but notice that Hadron is also the root word of hadar. So I read further, and the article footnote says the same thing. So I Shani would say, Baruch Shekivanti. According to Sefer HaChaim, the term is derived from the word hadar, glory. And we are saying that whatever glory we have attained is due to Torah, and we pray that our glory was from Torah, and the Torah will shed its glory upon us. So I just thought that that was very interesting. If anyone's familiar with that already, two reasons why it's called the Hadron. Rabbi Zavlev, do you want to say
Hadron to come back to?
Yes. Hey, Dalet Reishon and Sophis, we shall return to you.
Hadron means return?
Yes.
Oh, Aramaic.
What is she saying?
Aramaic.
Oh, all right, okay. So this is the paragraph that Rabbi Zavlev quoted. Modim anachnu lefanecha, Hashem Elokeinu ve'elokei avoseinu. We give thanks before you, Hashem our God and the God of our fathers. Remember, we're talking about Siyam. Shasamta chalkenu miyoshvei beis hamedrash. You have put our portion with those who sit in the beis medrash. Velo samta chalkenu miyoshvei karanos. You didn't put our portion with those who sit on the street corner. Sha'anu mashkimim vehei mashkimim. We wake up early, and they also wake up early. Anu mashkimim l'divrei Torah. We wake up for words of Torah. Vehei mashkimim l'dvarim batalim. And they wake up early for nullified matters, things that are batal, worthless. Anu amelim vehei amelim. We toil and they toil. Anu amelim u'mekablim schar. We toil and get reward. Vehei amelim ve'enu mekablim schar. They toil and they do not get reward. Anu ratzim vehei ratzim. We run and they run. Anu ratzim l'chaya ha'olam haba, we run to life in the eternal world of truth. V'heim ratzim l'be'er shachas, they run to the pit of the depths. Shanemar, quoting a pasuk from Tehillim, v'ata Elokim toridim l'be'er shachas, and you Elokim lower them down to the low pit. Anshei damim u'mirma lo yechtu meimei, men of bloodshed and deceit shall not live out half their days. V'ani avtach bach, and I will have trust in you. B'tachon. So it's a very beautiful tefillah, where we define our purpose in this world as running to, this is what is set upon Asiyam. So he was using this to say, what is the significance of the Siyam of Elul? Anu ratzim v'heim ratzim. Anu mashkimim v'heim mashkimim. Anu amelim v'heim amelim. When you say, anu amelim v'heim amelim, anu amelim v'mekablim schar, v'heim amelim v'enim mekablim schar, what does it mean that we work and receive reward? We toil, I should say, and receive reward. And they toil and they do not receive reward. So I've heard this word, it's a famous word, and maybe you know, but Rabbi Zavlev actually quoted in the name of the Chofetz Chaim Zatzal. So the Chofetz Chaim explains, so I'm going to quote the name of the Chofetz Chaim, you might be familiar with it. In the regular world, if you order a table from a carpenter, and you got to pick it up. You give a deposit, a $500 deposit, and the balance is $500. More those are paying $1,000 for this table. Maybe 20 years ago, you could pay $1,000 for a handmade table, but whatever. Let's say, and you put down a deposit and you come back in 6 weeks and it's not ready. And he says, oy, I toiled, I sweated, I banged, I cut the wood, I put in the nails, I sanded, but lemaisa, it's not ready. So you're not going to pay him $500 more. The table's not ready. You pay upon completion only of the finished product. What is anu amelim umekablim schar? We toil and we get reward along the way. So we'd only get payment at the final stage of the game. The toil itself is part of the avodah, and that itself yields reward. There is reward just for the toil. The Ribbono Shel Olam values every struggle you have with the Yetzer Hara, every word of Torah that you learned, every time you work to improve your tefillah, every time you held your tongue when you wanted to say something impatient. That toil is in itself the reward, but the siyum is significant because that's when you see the full picture. When you come to Elul and you say, so how was Tafshin Pei Aleph? So along the way, every day of Tafshin Pei Aleph, Shana Gematria 354, because there's 354 days, so it's not that Hashem created the world and Shana happens to have a Gematria. Hashem said Shana, and he created, like S.D. Klein clarified for us, the word was the creation, and the object is just the physical manifestation of the word. So you look back on the year, and along the way, you were constantly rewarded. The Avodas Hashem itself, mitzvah goreres mitzvah. But you can't see the full picture of the person you are now versus the person you were last Elul until you come to this Elul. You look back on the whole year. How were my resolutions? Did I change? Am I different? Am I stronger? Am I Avodas Hashem? Chazak ve'amei sibecha. How am I doing? So the siyum is very significant because, yes, anu amelim umekablim schar, vehem amelim ve'ena umekablim schar. You do get tremendous reward for the avoda itself, but the big picture is only apparent by a siyum. And you get the picture of the entire Masechta, of the entire book of Bereishis, said Rabbi Zavlaf, only when you come to the end. You're still missing parts of the story in the middle. If you stop, you know, Perek Mem and Yosef is in jail. So now you just stop. So you don't have the whole picture. You don't know what the siyum, the completion is. You don't know the climax of the story. You have part of it. You have reward for everything you did until Perek Mem or through Perek Mem, but you need to finish the sefer. You need to finish the year, and you need to look back and say, why do I wake up early? Anu mashkimim vehei mashkimim. Anu amelim vehei amelim. There's a famous story told about the Netziv. If it's true or not true, I don't know. But this is how the story goes. Maybe you know it. The Netziv was a young boy, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Miberlin, the Rosh Hashiva from Volozhin. So the Mechaber of the Emek Davar, even if one person doesn't know the story, it's kedai to say it over. By the way, even though I know the story, I've told it over many times, it's mechazik me every single time. I'm not just saying that because I'm seeking permission to re-say it. It's a true story that I get chizuk every time. Is this a true story? I don't know. So the Netziv was a little boy, and he was learning in yeshiva, and he just couldn't chap the material. So he decided he's leaving the yeshiva, and he's going to apprentice as a shoemaker. So he goes home, he tells his parents he's leaving the yeshiva, and he's going to be a shoemaker. That night he had a dream, and he went up to Shemayim after 120 years. And it's a time to talk about a siyum. That's the siyum. And it's time to give an accounting before the Beis Din Shamala. So they show him this chumash. And it says on the cover, Sefer HaEmek Davar, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Miberlin. They open it, they show him its whole commentary, Chamisha Chumshei Torah. So he said, who is that? What is that? So they said, this is you. And it's a Sefer you could have written if you would have stayed in the yeshiva instead of going to become a shoemaker. So he woke up from the dream and he understood that he was going to stay in yeshiva and not become a shoemaker. We, of course, have schar for the amelus along the way. Every time you don't become impatient, whatever your nisayon is, I don't know what your nisayon is. Every time you're kinder, every time your davening is a little bit more clearly enunciated, every time you don't want to go to shir, but you say, I'm going to go anyway, every kapitel tehillim you say. But the big picture is only seen at the siyum. Oh, I was thinking to myself like this. When you bake a cake, all the ingredients of the cake are very important. If you leave out an ingredient, there's like scientific reason that the baking powder and the baking soda interacts and works with the liquids and causes the cake to rise. But if you bake the cake, all the ingredients are very important. So there's schar along the way. The schar is that the cake's going to work if you put in all the ingredients. But if you don't see it through to completion, then what? you're not going to have a cake, you're going to have a bowl of dough, and you can't serve the bowl of dough. So I thought that was another good mashal to teach you the importance that Allah, every step is important, every ingredient is important, every pasuk is important, every daf of Gemara is important, every day of the year is important. Of the 354 days of the Shana is very important. But you only have a finished product when? By the Siyam. You won't have a cake to serve. You're going to have a bowl of raw dough and it's Maksan Shabbos because it hasn't been prepared and you can't even do anything with it. Not only the beginning of a new year is important, but the year end that's also important. So now we come back to open value and hidden value, which when I heard this, I decided to teach it tonight because last week we spoke so much about the significance of gematrias and telling us the beauty of Lashon HaKodesh. Did I say last night? Last week. Siyam. So remember we said every word and letter has an open value and a hidden value. Aleph is one, open value. Hidden value is Aleph Lamed Pei, 1, 1, 1. The word Siyam itself, get ready. Okay, you have a pen and paper. You can see in my notes. I mamish did it on pen and paper. Like, this is my, sure, it's literally here in my own handwriting. Okay, Siyam, Samech. What's the open value of Samech?
60.
But what is the hidden value of Samech? Samech, Mem, Chaf. Chaf, Sofis, Chaf. Mem is 40, Chaf is 20. So what's the hidden value of Samech? What? No, the Samech, I'm sorry, I'm not saying well. Samech is the open value, it's 60.
Right.
Mem and Chaf is the hidden part of the Samech.
Oh, you're not including the Samech.
Not including the Samech, include only the hidden part. What?
You're taking the first part out.
Samech is the open value, it's a part you see. Mem and Chaf is a part you don't see. So for Siyam, we're going to call that the hidden value. So what's the hidden value of Samech? Mem and Chaf. 60. Mem is 40. Yes? Chaf is 20?
Yes.
I'm not that bad in math. The open value is 60, and the hidden value is 60. This is amazing. Yud. The open value of Yud is?
10.
How do you spell Yud? Yud, Vav, Dalet. The hidden value is Vav and Dalet. What's Vav and Dalet? Vav is 6, Dalet is 4. These are very easy gematrias. So the hidden value of Yud is 10, and the open value of Yud is also 10. How do you spell Vav? It's very easy. Vav, Vav. The open value of Vav is one letter. The open value of Vav is 6. What's the hidden value of Vav?
6,
because Vav, Vav, it's 6 and 6. So every letter of the word Siyam, and this when I heard this insight in the shir, this was a shir that was an hour and 15 minutes long. The first part I listened on my fast walk, the rest driving around today where I had to be. And when I heard this insight, I said, this is going to be, I worked this afternoon on this preparation. Not everything I'm saying tonight is from Rabbi Zev Lev, but I thought this was tremendous because this is exactly what we spoke about last week. The inherent beauty of Lashon HaKodesh and how Hashem created a whole world in Lashon HaKodesh that we're oblivious to. We didn't do the mem, but by now it should be pretty obvious. Mem is mem, mem. The open value of mem is 40. And the hidden value of mem is also 40. So what you see, said Rabbi Lef, when it comes to Asiyam, and now we have to understand what this means, is that does everyone on Zoom understand what I just said? It's okay, yeah? Okay. If you have a pen and paper, you can also, you know, write it down at home. The open value of Siyam, which is Samech Yod Vav Mem, and the close, what would it be total? 116. Okay? And the hidden value of Siyam is also, in other words, the Mem Chaf of Samech, the Vav Dalet of Yod, the Vav of Vav, and the Mem of Mem. So the open value and the hidden value actually equal each other. So what's the lesson? What's the, yeah?
That when you complete something, that's, you know, the ending is.
Oh, that's very nice. I don't think, I could be wrong, but I don't think Rabbi Lef quoted that pasuk. It's from Kohelis. It's the end of Kohelis. It's talking about the end of the matter.
Yeah.
Sof davar. The end of the matter is Hakol nishma, so kim yireh ve'es misvelos of tishmar, kizak kol ha'adam. the end of the matter. Very nice. You should feel that every day of toil, Anu Amelim Vehemim, the 354 days of the lunar Shana, which equals 354 on Gematria, is a day where it's always bring us to Asa Elokim Yireh Mitzvos of Tishmar, to listen to the word of God and to follow his mitzvos. And that's the Sof. That's the end. That's the whole purpose of why we are here. That's a Siyam. So what, perhaps, is the open value and what is the hidden value? So I was thinking as follows. If you have another thought, you could feel free to offer it. I was thinking as far as, what's the open value? What does it mean? What does this mean hashkafically? That, okay, so it's cool. Siyam, the open value, and the hidden value is obviously equal for each of the four letters. But what do we learn about the concept of having a siyam from this open value and hidden value? So what's the open value of going to share? And these dedicated women, both in person and on Zoom, can certainly understand this. This year is now 7 years, Kanainahara. It's amazing. Mamish amazing. I just heard Rabbi Shai Shechter say it again last week. He says it often. His father says, if shlita, if something takes you a long time, it's as chus for arichus yamim. That Hashem will give you the life to finish. But you've started. So I think it's coming up to unbelievable. Kein yirbu. Baruch Hashem. We should be well to continue. 7 years. So what does open value mean? It's a time you spend going to the shir. Takes time. Takes a lot of time if we're coming from far. You could be on Zoom and you're getting extra schar alicha. It's a time of sitting in the shir. This is all open value. It's things everyone sees. Everyone knows that you're leaving to go to shir. I mean, we all see you here. It's not hidden. It's not a secret. You're here. You're on Zoom. You took the time. You have a kvias. I'm making this important. I'm learning next week, Tuesday night. I'm learning on Wednesday night at 8:30. Whatever happens, this is kvias to shir. It's sitting in shir. If you some reason have to miss, it's listening to the MP3. It's finding a parking space, not in that order. We used to drive in snowstorms before Zoom taught us that you don't have to have sakanas nefashos to come teach shir. That's the open value of shir. That's the open value of a siyam. But what's the hidden value? I was thinking how the Torah goes through you and changes you. If you've been learning in this shir, for maybe it's not 7 years, maybe you joined over the last year or 2 years of rest. I cannot imagine, not because I'm teaching this shir, because the Divrei Torah cannot not change you. It's not possible. So outside you look, okay, we've aged a little over 7 years, but you look like this, not you. Of course not, I didn't mean you, me. I've aged over 7 years.
He started.
I didn't mean you've aged. Thank you. Thank you. We believe so, yes. It was started right around the same time that she was Nifteras. That's correct. So the hidden value is what people can't see. Okay, so yes, maybe you've aged in 7 years, maybe you haven't aged in 7 years. But the point is that the internal change of what Torah does to you is not apparent. I'm not talking about in the way you dress. I'm talking about your neshama, your internality, your tikkun amidos, your degree of amunah. I can't be the same. Rabbi Zev Lev said to the people there, it wasn't related to this thought, he was talking about Anu Amelim Vehema Amelim. So he said, let's say a person goes to shir. He said to, I don't know who the audience was, he says, let's say you come to my shir. He said, you don't understand anything. You came, you sat here for an hour. He was talking about Anu Amelim getting reward for the toil. He was using this as another example of not only being rewarded for the end product, but for the toil. So he said, so I'm going to apply it in a different context. He said, let's say you come to my shir. You don't understand anything. You sat here for an hour, whatever. You don't understand. It's not your level. Let's say you don't understand gematria, siyam, and he's talking about siyam. Excuse me. You don't understand anything I'm saying, but you sat here for an hour. He said, you get schar for coming here for an hour. You get schar halicha, you get schar beis medrash, you get schar yeshiva, because you're sitting here. So I'm going to say that the Torah cannot not change you. It's not possible that if you sit in a shir, he said to the people, whoever, women, I think, you're not the same person when you leave the shir as when you enter the shir. So I'm going to use that to understand what hidden value and open value of Siyam means. Siyam is completion. So what do we say at the end of Elul, or the beginning of Elul, whatever, in Elul? And we are completing, we're being Messiah the year. There's an open value, the people we were this year that everyone saw, the public persona, the person you meet in the supermarket, in Amazing Savings, the person you meet at a simcha, the person you meet when you're walking down the street. Remember that? Yes, the person that you meet each day. Who has that, Mr. Rogers? What? Now I'm really dating myself. So, what?
Nowadays it became Daniel Tiger.
It became?
Daniel Tiger. The cartoon now.
It's a cartoon now?
Yes.
What show is it?
Daniel Tiger.
It's
like a Mr. Rogers version.
Daniel Tiger.
Not in Canada. Along with Capillary, it was something else.
No, it's currently.
Oh, that's your people that you meet each day?
Yeah.
Okay. So when you look back on the year, there's an open value. And that's part of a seum. There is an open value to the person you are. But there's also a hidden value. And I was saying to myself, not only is it equal to the open value, but it might even be greater than the open value, maybe not numerically. But there's hidden, you're a different person. It's not possible that when you come to a seum and you've dedicated that year to mashkimim and ratzim and amelim, you can't be the same person. And that's the godless of a seum. That there's an open value and a hidden value. The open value is you tell your family, I'm leaving now. And the open value is you attend, and the open value is you sit. But the hidden value is that the person you are inside is a different person. Rabbi Pesach Kron, beautiful. Elo has a lot. Elo is an acronym for a lot of things. Psukim. It's an acronym for a lot of psukim. Some are more famous, like Anila Dodi with Dodi. I'm not giving you any secrets. Everyone knows that one. I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. Shir Hashirim, I think it's 6-3. I never saw this before, or never heard this before, or never told it over. Does anyone have the sefer also? Yamim Noraim with the Maga. It's brand new. So, this is very interesting. I never saw this one. You tell me if you know it. It is said, writes Rabbi Pesach Kron, that the Baba of a Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Halberstam, 1908 to 2000, suggested another acronym for Elo. Wait, I want to actually look up the whole Pasuk. It's from Vayikra Perek Yud Beis. That is Isha Ki Tazriya V'Yalda Zachar, V'Tumas Shivas Yamim. It's the parsha of the Tumas HaYoledes. 1 second, please. Here it is. I'm going to put it on the Zoom chat for everybody so you could see it, and then I'm going to read it to all the people who are here so you could follow along with me. Okay, this is talking about, it's the Tumas HaYoledes, the parak of a woman. Parshas Tazria is really about Saras, but it actually begins with a woman who has a child. How long is she tame for a boy? How long for a girl? Mitzvah Bris Milah. Okay, short parak. Eight psukim long. The last pasuk is, ready? It's Perek Yud Beis, pasuk Ches of Vayikra. V'im lo timtza yada deise, if she, her hand does not find enough money for a lamb, she has to bring karbanos after this birthing and tame into her process. V'lakecha shtei torim o shnei b'nei yona. So she takes two doves or two young pigeons, echad le'ola ve'echad le'chatas. Echad le'ola. The echad lachatas. What are the Roshei Tevos? I just said them. Echad is Aleph. La'ola is Lamed. The echad is Vav. Lachatas. Elol. The key parallel, Koin v'tahira. Everybody on the Zoom, you could just look on the chat. I posted it for you, okay? And the Kohen will atone for her and she will become pure. Rabbi Pesach Kron says, it is said that the Baba V'Rebbe, Rabbi Shlomo Halberstam, suggested another acronym for Elo. It stands for Echad L'Ola V'Echad L'Chatas. An Ola offering is a korban that is burnt kulo l'Hashem. Okay, there's a spectrum on the spectrum of korbanos. The two opposite ends of the spectrum are Ola. Ola is totally. Ola is from the word Aliyah, to go up. I saw this, I never thought it before. Talking about Sharasha. The root word is all like a burden. Kabbalah's Omar Chushamayim. It teaches you that if you want to be a Ben Aliyah, you have to carry a heavy burden. I never thought of that before. And you know I'm fascinated with Sharashim, as this past couple of Shiram have showed us, and Lashon HaKodesh. So Ola is an offering that's burned Kulo LaHashem. It's the same word as one who wants to be a Ben Aliyah or a Bas Aliyah, who's growing and striving to grow higher. But it's the same root as all, I and Lamed. Yes, because sometimes to be a Ben Abbas Aliyah, it's a tremendous all. It's hard. It's not so easy. There's a lot of schmutz and a big yetzer hara that tries to pull us away from striving to grow higher to Hashem. Hence, being a person of aliyah is an all. Doesn't mean you can't do it, just means it's hard. So on the two opposite ends of the spectrum, you have Ola, that's burned totally to Hashem, and Karban Pesach is the opposite end of the spectrum. Why do I say that? Because nothing goes to the Kohen, and the Baal Karban and his Chabura eats the whole thing. And in between, you have various Karbanos, some go to the Kohen, some are parts are totally burned, some the Baal HaKarban eats. But these are the two ends of the spectrum. Ola, totally burned to God. It indicates, in other words, you are totally dedicating yourself to Hashem. And Karban Pesach is Tzli Eish, Amatzos, Umorim, Yachlu. You're not allowed to leave any over. Karban Pesach parts are, yeah? I can't hear.
Well, you're talking now that one is a Ola and the other way is a Chatas, not a Pesach.
I'm just explaining what a Karban Ola is. A Karban Ola is a Karban that's burned totally to Hashem. This isn't a Karban Pesach. This is the Karban of the Yolades. V'echad Chatas, and she brings one for a Chatas. I don't know exactly which part of the Chatas goes to the Kohen, and which part goes to her, and which part is burned. But what does this mean in terms of Elul? After this whole shiur, where we've explored what it means to have a Siyum, and the significance of Siyum, not only to finish and to get the big picture, and to be Amel, and Ratzim, and Mashkimi, but the open value and the hidden value, and what Torah does to us. So Rabbi Pesach Kron writes, according to the Baba V'Rebbe, Rabbi Shlomo Halberstam Zatzal, it can be rendered homiletically as follows. Echad la'ola, one may be striving for ascension, the echad the chatas, one may be striving to undo sin. That's the whole tafkid of this time period of the year. We have to strive to be a ben or a bas aliyah. Take the whole year, look at the whole year. It's the culmination. You only have the big picture when you come to the end. Sof davar kol nishma. You can only hear the whole matter when you get to the end. You get schar for every day of the 354 of Shana. Every day for the amelus, but you still have raw batter. It comes together as a cake, so to speak, when you finish baking, when you finish the Masechta, when you finish Bereishis. I'm not saying all the parts weren't important. Don't misunderstand. If you leave out the baking soda and the eggs and the oil, you're going to have a gross cake. It's not going to be edible. Obviously, every stage is important, but you want to know what the Siyum is, the completion, when you have the open value and the hidden value, and it all comes together. And now you're ready to pour grade A cement for the new year. Echad the Ola ve'echad the Chatas. Did anyone ever hear this before on Zoom or in person? There's a lot of acronyms for what Elo stands for. This one is, I never saw this before. What is the point of Elo? One may be striving for ascension, ve'echad the Chatas, and one may be striving to undo sin. The Baba Rebbe explained this quote about Rabbi Pesach Kron. Some people look back over the previous year, and you might feel you have a good year. They studied Torah adequately, they davened appropriately, they gave charity properly, they treated all their fellow human beings and family with friends with dignity. Everything was perfect. To them, the message is Echad Ola. You must make sure that, I mean, in my own words, don't rest on your laurels. You have to make sure, in Rabbi Kron's words, the upcoming year will be one of even higher achievement. You're still a human being and there's always something to improve. So even if you look back on the past year and you think, wow, I'm a ben or bas aliyah, don't think you've reached the climax of what you can be as a human being. You must not, it wasn't Michal Horowitz's words, you must not rest on your laurels, but rather seek to increase your good deeds in number and quality and intensify your spiritual passion. However, and I'm going to say that I think we're all a combination of these two. I think that we have to look back on the past year and say what I did right. Don't make yourself into a shmata. There are things you have to give yourself credit for in your avodas Hashem. If you make yourself into a shmata, it's totally the Yetzer Hara. That's mamish the Yetzer Hara. I've heard Rabbi Lev speak about this. It's not Rabbi Lev. It's mamish a musar mahalach, that the Yetzer Hara wants you to feel like you're worthless and you can't do anything. So why does God want me? So then you stop davening, then you stop doing chesed, then you stop giving tzedakah, because Hashem doesn't want me anyway. So I think every one of us is really a combination of echad the ola and echad the chatas. I don't know. I can't say my whole year was perfect. I can't say I studied Torah adequately, always davened appropriately, gave charity to the exact letter of the law, treated every fellow human being I ever met with perfect dignity. I can't say that's me. On the other hand, you have to say what you did do good this year, because it spurs you on. When you look back and you're misayim and you recognize ani mashkima, ani ratza, ani amela, it spurs you on to be better and to pour the grade A cement so the future foundation is even stronger. So once I said I'm taking Chal V'Yisrael, so then the Yetzer said, oh no, what about friendship cottage cheese? What am I going to do? Chal V'Yisrael is $5.79 and friendship is $1.99 and I like the texture and it's whipped. Why? Because once I said I'm going to do it, what does the Yetzer say? You really sure you want to do this? It's fine. I'm living without cottage cheese. I have yogurt and fruit every morning. I always had yogurt and fruit. Anyway, it's fine. Nothing happened. I didn't eat Haagen-Dazs or Dunkin' Donuts. The milk and the cheese was already Chal V'Yisrael because one of my kids, I don't eat cream cheese because I don't like it. It's fine. So we're not totally the Olah, we're not totally the Chatas. We're somewhere in the middle of the spectrum of the Korbanos. However, others look back at the previous year and recognize they were lacking in Torah study, says Rabbi Cohen. They were deficient in davening. They were wanting in charity. They were insensitive to people. Elul's message to them is Echad HaChatas. The Vav is important, it's part of Elul. Focus on the wrongs of the previous year and seek to improve yourself in the future. Rabbi Krohn says most of us fit into one of these categories. I'm going to very humbly, because this is a world-renowned Mayo author, inspirer, Magid Shir, but I don't think we fit into one of these categories. I think we each fit into some of both of these categories. I don't think anyone's entirely Echad Ola, maybe a Gadol Dor, not me. But we're also not entirely Ve'echad Echatas. We're a combination of both. And Elo is the Siyam. It's time to look back on the whole picture. It's time to assess what was your open value. Samech Yod Vavmem. And it's time to say, what's my hidden value? Mem Chaf. Whatever. Vav Dalet. Vav Mem. That's my hidden value. What was really good this year? What do I want to continue to build? And what needs change this year? You can only have the big picture when you come to the end. Sof Davar, beautifully said, says the wisest of all men, only at the end of the day, Hakol Nishma, let everything be heard. Va'as Elokim Yireh, v'mitzvos of Tishmar, ki zeh kol ha'adam. So the end of the year is extremely significant to Rabbi Zevlev. It's not just like goodbye 5781, you know, December, goodbye, get drunk, finished, have, you know, a non-Jewish holiday and move into the beginning of the year. In Yahadus, he was trying to say, so I told you a little bit what he said about the beginning. A little bit what he said was the great asement. That was his mashal. But mainly I wanted to focus on the end. Because it's not just goodbye, finished, return the book to the library, I'm never going to see this again. That's not what the end means for us. The men has end, the siyum, as we've explained tonight, has tremendous power, and it's an opportunity for us to take a really good look at who we are. Anu mashkimim v'hei mashkirim, anu ratzim v'hei matzim, anu amelim v'makablim schar. But you say it at a siyam. V'hei amelim v'einam makablim schar. So Ezra Hashem, remember with the gematria that we started, which is that Davash equals Av HaRachamim, they both equal 306 in gematria. As us Hashem, we should taka all merit, a powerful end, a strong beginning, and a shana tova umusuka for us and all of Klai. So thank you so much, everybody. Kol tov. Thank you. Next week, Be'ezot Hashem Shir is Tuesday night at 8:30. It will be the same Zoom information. Kol tov. Thank you so much.
Is it live?